Well, Michael and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info, and today is Tuesday, May 20th, 2014. This is our 231 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Michael was taken to a huge luminescent sphere near Saturn as a student visitor, and returned to Maui with their amazing flowing dialogue. And now, occasionally, we hear from Shaharon using Michael to transmit his voice into the recording. Hello, Michael.
Hi, Curtis. And
hello.
Yeah, that huge luminescent sphere has got a name, and it's called the New Jerusalem.
New Jerusalem.
Yeah, so, or New Jerusalem, or New Jerusalem, same place. They never really said corrected me on that. They said, "Well, we got a Jerusalem on Earth," and it's, "Oh, yes, but it's a different New Jerusalem. It's not a New Jerusalem of Earth's Jerusalem. It's a Jerusalem because that is the capital of this system called Satania." And I said, "Satania." That's the devil. I think I'm in the wrong place here. I got scared, really. And then quickly the Dana came in and said, "Don't worry about it. There's a whole story behind that that is not told on Earth very clearly. So you'll get it soon. But just be calm." And I was. And I followed him all the way through to finding the entire purpose of life and human life. And that is all about ascending to divinity attainment, becoming truly a divine son of God or daughter of God. Actually, lose both masculine and feminine characteristics. It sort of merges into a unique divine nature. Because a lot of it has to do with Morontial development. And believe it or not, the New Jerusalem has a lot of Morontial activity and interface between myself and Morontial people. These are people who are material, yet spirit, someplace in between. And yet, when you truly experience them, they are not, disembodied spirits or something. You know, they are real, very real, and have a project. Most of them, are very much working on a project and working with the progress of a human development. It's just very keenly aware of that development of human. Yet they don't interfere with our free will. It's important that as we are, as characteristics of true personality, unique, mortal origin beings of planet Earth, Urantia beings, have a discovery of their own true destiny through a mechanism which has been distorted in its term, but it's really called worship, which is true seeking. And true worship amounts to many different facets of the same gem, you might call it, beautiful cut stone, having many wonderful facets, each bearing a radiance about it. But each facet could be a characteristic of this drive of worship, divinity, perhaps, discovery. And through that individuals' quest will discover for themselves a unique part of this gem of divinity that is our own, which we can call our own, and is in harmony with the progress of divinity attainment, not in rebellion to. And that's one of the problems that this universe this segment of the universe, as well as our planet and our having a, you know, the in the Bible that talks about a new heaven and a new earth, because the old one has to be put away, which is the one that fell under rebellion, and the entire plan of mortal origin, ascension toward divinity attainment was interrupted and detained under Lucifer's rebellion. And there are many characters besides mortal origin beings that fell. There are many who were of high orders of divinity, including Lucifer himself, was very high in order. He was a Lenanandek son, a being of light, that fell under that. His own, you might say, self-aggrandizement. He worshipped himself, actually, as a source of real truth. But it ends up, of course, that he became the author of all lies. Now, an interesting thing happened to me the other day. This is a couple days ago, as I do receive visions. And some of them I can latch on to. Others I just really don't. I just see that they're explaining to me, and they want me to realize that there's some things coming up or something going on. And I think what was interesting about this vision was seeing a whole bunch of what I presume are Morontia companions. Morontia companions are what of these individuals that walked around with Riley Martin, and he called his companion Question. But they also serve not just one person. They serve a larger group, many times 1,000 people or so. But it was interesting that I saw a whole bunch of them seated, much like how, you know, students seat on a, you know, a desk, and are seated and are as if being lectured or trained or given instruction, and they're sitting there. And interesting thing was that they had hands, and they could sit down just like how we can sit down, but they were kind of warm and fuzzy looking. And Riley Martin described his Question as closest thing he could come up with was a beaver, you know, Question the beaver or the space beaver. But actually, they're kind of warm and fuzzy looking. Interestingly enough, they all were recognizable as distinct by facial features. You could look at them and they're looking warm and fuzzy, but their eyes were fully enlightened. They were not like animals, kind of dim or dull. They actually had different characteristics. You could see some with very bright eyes. I mean, they were like really, you know, intensely listening to the lecture. And others, kind of sleepy-eyed, you know, okay. And then it sort of matched with the description of there being two different types of Morontia companions, one being more aggressive, going forward, types, and others more relaxed, you might say. And that's just the ones with the sleepy eyes, sort of, okay, I'll listen to this. But interestingly enough, the idea of Morontia companions is given in the Urantia book, and there's so many things about the Urantia book that parallel the things that are active and functioning in the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem orbiting Saturn is that place where Christ, Jesus Christ himself, the universe creator, said, I go now and I prepare a place for you. And, of course, the mansion worlds, there's like seven mansion worlds of preparation. But the New Jerusalem is a position where there is activity there that parallels the seven mansion worlds. And have many of these Morontia beings, as well as material beings, as well as myself as a physical mortal being, functioning together in concert without interference in each other. And the progress of each is well known. They know and discover. And this, the only person that was super confused apparently was me. And it was how the Urantia book was unveiled to me, because I was like, I don't know what is going on in this place. But anyway, eventually I did put two and two together. The Urantia book has wonderful, wonderful ways in which the descriptions match all the, even names match very much, like Frondelenk in my memory trink as a Frondelenk meaning Frankenstein. And I thought, wow, it's Frankenstein devices, you know, the power regulators, it's the engine that runs the place. Well, all of these things are all part of my experience that just is, you can find it right there. It's, the Urantia book is maybe more difficult to understand, having only to rely on your personal imagination to wonder about who are they talking about? What is the secret place of the Most High Verandadeck observers like? Well, it is a secret place because when I went into the realm in which Dano talked me, which is like a containment of light, and I asked him, is this like an elevator? And he said, it in a way it is, but it's not. It wasn't elevating or just moving floors. We're actually moving into another domain, another place. I'm not sure where we went to, but to exit it was extremely easy. You just passed through what appeared to be a gateway, and then you ended up in a completely different place. And when I turned around, there was no door where I came from. There was nothing. So it was a dimensional portal. And I was escorted through by the Dano, in which I could inevitably find out the purpose of life through the simple statement in which the Verandadeck Most High simply said, the purpose of all life and your life and human life, life on earth, is that you may become as I. And that I looked at a being of pure white light and beauty as being a statement of high destiny, but that I sure wasn't there yet. So anyway, going back to the Urantia companions sitting there being educated, I believe that they're going through training because there's going to be a lot of busyness going on. There was always busyness when I observed, but more recently there's more going on. Because a lot of what they do has to do with different levels of, functions of what Urantia companions can do. besides being guardians of people like who are making the transversal between a mortal human or just one that functions here on Earth to another one that is I got some. Forgot to take this phone off. It's a lot of times it's political. These telephone calls. Kind of a nuisance, actually. I know who I want to vote for. But anyway, the whole progress is being upscaled right now, and I believe that's the reason that I saw them projected into my mind in a vision as these Urantia companions being prepared for thousands and thousands of people, because each one of them has a minimum of 1,000 people that they can be responsible for. And they may look like this warm, fuzzy creatures, or they can be other levels, because Urantia doesn't mean your fixed state of being. But a lot of their function has to do with becoming guardians of each group in terms of directing them toward higher levels of reality associations. You know, the realities that we live in right now takes progress, it takes time, but there's even more that needs to be moved through. They need to greet us and freely associate us with the higher realms. And do it in a progress which is kind of interesting, because they take you by the hand in a way that they understand where you're at and they move you on higher. And that's why they're given this companion kind of a title. And they're also able to be used as interpreters, translators. I mean, there were, Riley was talking about how Question would, you know, come up with all these, you know, what's going on, and give them the idea what's going on. And in a way that, you know, sort of like made it seem like Question, the Rancha companion that was running around with Riley Martin, was an alter ego almost. And that's how close they can get to allowing you to interface with them for your benefit in interfacing for the higher transition. So it won't be necessarily totally esoteric and out there in a cave way on top of the Himalayan mountains, sequestered in a little zone of meditation. No, it's real interaction with a guide, you know, a guardian, individual that kind of warm and fuzzy and makes you feel right. So this is interesting that these Morancho companions are being readied for more interaction, it seems like. That's what the vision, I believe. The only reason I could say them sending me a vision of Morancho companions seated at a desk looking like they're in a classroom environment and their numbers being relatively large. So they could be ready for thousands and thousands of people. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. So the Urantia book gives the idea that much of our translational movement between Earth Pilgrim or Mortal Pilgrim moving on to the higher destinies will move right into the first mansion world, way out there off planet. In fact, in a different system. Much of what goes on apparently has been changed. In fact, Christ's own, Jesus Christ, Universe Creator Son, Joshua ben Joseph, Christ Michael of Nebadon, was not necessarily following the exact outline or guide of the way things progress. And adjustments have been made. And the New Jerusalem is, in fact, that place where Christ said, I go and I prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. So in my Father's house are many mansions. The Urantia book parallels the mansion worlds as part of these mansions world for upstep, to become truly a being of high spirit and attaining that level of destiny that the Veranda Deck Most High said that you will become as I. Now, the New Jerusalem orbiting Saturn is something being captured. So it's a real place of high destiny for high destiny, and it is all part of the orchestration of divinity here, back here in the universe, to the local system and to our own solar system and right down to our planet for our personal ascent toward divinity. And now we have these Morancho companions moving in over here, being specially trained, and we'll be receiving a large number of people. At first, many of these people will be mirroring the training that they go into, much like how I'm trying to mirror some of it to make it easy to understand that if you do get moved into the New Jerusalem, into this outer space community for higher higher life and higher divinity attainment, and how to approach it from a point of not being so confused, but understanding that the move will be necessary, especially out of physical mortal body, organic body, to a first level Maranja body. Maranja companions traverse the entire domain of Maranja. In other words, there are different Maranja facets, you might say, you will experience along the gem of development. So you, in one, you may attain newer sensory abilities, some of which are related to our soul development, and many times, that's why many times, person who has gone through near-death experience comes back from near-death having various psychic skills. And these psychic skills are just part of the Maranja development. In other words, you just bring it back with you because you partially Marantialize in a near-death experience. And then you come back into a physical domain to continue your personality development and free will choice development. And under real true worship development, to worship, to seek truth on the highest levels and seek and find it in many, many different places. But ultimately, realizing that there is a first source and center and that there is a high truth that is guiding us and pulling us through. And when we make that intercept, it becomes a real celestial guide, and that is the ultimate truth. And the companions, Maranja companions, will help us attune to it all along the way. These companions were not infallible. In fact, many of them fell under Lucifer's reign and deceptions. And presently, the entire number of Maranja companions has been replaced and has now exceeded their former quota. And much of it because our population on the planet Earth is very, very large. You know, so if you have 7 billion people and you need companions for one companion per 1,000, you can do the math. There's a lot of them that had to be developed. And they're presently being developed right now. Not all of the development that takes place on the mansion worlds cannot be duplicated and reassigned as I was able to see it in the New Jerusalem. So this is the New Jerusalem is sort of a shortcut or a place or a new throne, which is like the throne of Christ, which is here in our solar system, that will become a position. Because the throne has to do with authority and rule, a position which is not only you take your seat upon, it's a formal position, but really a real position of rule and reign. And this is how the interface will be made in terms of moving our planet from an old, decrepit, fallen system and planetary governance, which is falling apart right now. And because a lot of it is legacy from the old way, to becoming built up in a newer way. And the idea of everything becoming new is something that was kind of introduced to me by the Dano, as the teacher that I was seated there, and he said, "Look around." And I said, "Yeah, okay. Doesn't everything look brand new?" And I said, "Yeah, everything looks really nice and new and clean and everything." And he says, "Well, you go back to Rome." Rome? I've never been there. And when you go back to Earth, you go visit Rome and you'll see the difference. And basically all he was doing was just telling me that from the time 2,000 years ago is pretty much the time in which the New Jerusalem started to be really constructed, because that is exactly what Christ said, I'll go and prepare a place. And that place is being built for 2,000 years and is in fact that same gigantic mothership actually becoming even bigger and bigger and bigger, more and more and more from the time of Christ. So it's actually quite brand new. Interestingly, in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, it talks about the new Jerusalem, and it talks about a new heaven and a new earth, the first heaven and the first earth passing away. But right now, we're still functioning under the first heaven and the first earth. And the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven is not yet come down. It's still there orbiting and functioning as a new Jerusalem, as an outpost, or as the throne of Christ here within this segment of the system that we're in right now. And in verse 5 of chapter 21, it says, "And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new." This is interesting, in which the Daniel said, don't look around and say, everything is new. And he used that term, look how everything is new. And this is the activity, or the, how much of it will be done. It says, Behold, I am making all things new. And also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. So this is a little bit of a confirmation of how the Dano hints about the New Jerusalem, the name New Jerusalem and the New Jerusalem being in terms of the class was interchangeable. It didn't make any difference. The function for both point back to the real hope of coming back to a true unfallen Jerusalem. But the planet is fighting back. You know, there's a lot of people want the old system in place, and they're making it. They're not going to let it go that easy, because it has a lot to do with human nature in much of its fallen characteristics that can be manipulated. But we are called not to that lower level, but we're called to a much higher realm of being, and that's where these warm and fuzzy guys, Moronic companions, will be getting into the picture with many other humans who will be called to ascend. They're actually taken to the New Jerusalem for higher training. So this is coming up. Apparently, they're giving us some hints through this type of vision that some things are being prepared.
And each one of these companions is going to be for like 1,000 people?
Yeah, or less.
Or could be 1,000 people.
Or, yeah. Let's start with this. They'll seem like you're their only person.
Uh-huh.
It's interesting how they function. You know, you seem like, well, this guy is my buddy and nobody else's. But they actually don't. They kind of function all the way. That's why they're Marantia, because they can be in many places at the same time, because of only in the Marantia realm can they do that. Yeah. If they were physical being, mortal beings, they would be locked in step of time. And I discussed time. And they're not bound by it. So because of that, the one will be able to divide his non-linear time, place, space, displacement into many, many zones all at the same time. So that's an interesting factor about them too. Plus, their warm and fuzzy appearance makes them more friendly, you might say. To us humans, anyway.
I wish I could do that. I wish I could sort of have like 60 clones of myself. They'd all know what to do, and we could get a lot done.
Yeah. Or just one self that could do it all in the same period of time.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
So these companions, they're just so remarkable that way. Everyone just thinks they're almost only for them.
Yeah, yeah. It's a unique thing about them. Hmm. Yeah, but you won't always. You have interface with one, sometimes two later on, get to know. But they're all part of helping you understand. And maybe times you don't understand the gibberish going on because some of those guys will be speaking another language and they'll translate for you. You know, my graduate guy was capable of that, but his training was in a different sense. So I had a graduate guy, Riley Martin, was running around with a Maranchi companion named Question. He named him Question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had quite a personality, that companion. Yeah. And he had the same type of personality as Riley. I mean, maybe they stuck
they
them both
that.
Together so they could...
Yeah, right. They do that. They kind of... They don't want you to be, you know, put off because you can't relate. They come so close to you, they're almost like you're an alter ego.
Mm-hmm. Well, they really did exactly that. It was amazing.
One of the things that gives me a real indication that they are guiding Riley was that they were very patient. They said, you will be able to do all things. You know, you'll accomplish everything. It's just a matter of time. You know, you just take more at practice, you know, and go through it. And you don't see progress as something that requires a certain, you know, segment of time. You got to go through the levels. No, you just whatever progress you make. And for many of us who are, this is an important factor about being embodied and having knowledge and having found truth, is to take the opportunity to build real life experience and character and synergetic energy between yourself and divinity. The divinity fractal, because by so doing, you gain many trials and tests that need to be overcome, that develop you, your character, that will bypass many levels in the Marantia development, and that is something that that you know, even with being essentially made perfect, it still could be deceived. But because of the fact that we can fight through deception and find truth in true worship, in the position we are at, where there's different opinions, different ideas, different, and still sort that through to find truth, that is a truly, truly high realm of reality and of personality development. And in so doing, the individual becomes truly able to cut past many of the developmental segments that are held in dimensional development. That's why the New Jerusalem was made, so that these pilgrims of higher world development, we planetary offspring of planet Earth, are being developed in place with an imperfect or old Earth and an old heaven that's going to be replaced. But in that old Earth and in the old heaven are all these factors that try us and test us. And we, through true worship, find truth and find a way in. And this is one of the things that I was tasked to help, at least provide those true seekers with a little bit more guidance and then they gain on their own greater relationship and insight, and even dreams, visions on their own, all being given by the same source for the purpose of continual revelation. So if you wonder about that.
Yeah, I am wondering about that.
Yeah, wondering about, how much more is there? There's a lot that can be accomplished elsewhere, but, in this mansion world or in some other realm of reality that we're being staged for. The idea is that while we're being staged for with this knowledge, we can cut past through many of what would be considered, required knowledge. I remember sitting, Dano told my graduate guide, take me and Riley to go and sit in front of these screens. So we sat in front of the screens and Riley was sitting to my right and he was sitting next to me. And we were looking at dinosaur pictures. And, reality transcripts that were recorded, and we could see these development of dinosaurs. And then we saw their demise, and we saw this boom, blowing up and stuff. But while I was watching the dinosaurs, then they actually showed various levels of development and all life development, and finally ended up with a dinosaur. And I said, enough, I already know all of this. Study this stuff in school. And it says, okay, you can, you don't have to study all this. But the idea was, I sat there and we both were looking at it, is that many of the things, what I'm saying is that many of the things that we will be taught there could be taught here, if we just had the truth. And that's one of the things that is being shared with you right now, as much as best as I can right now, is to try to share those things, because those very things will be shared with you if you haven't gone through yet. You will be. So that's that's a plan, perhaps, maybe. And the idea is that you can move past that into even greater relationship, closer. And that's the idea of how to be a mortal sun-seized. And that is, a sun-seized mortal will always have passed the test of recognition. In other words, they will be recognized by, and the individual who is being given the test of recognition will recognize the Creator Son, no matter in what appearance he comes. They will know him, and they will know him by his personality. The same way the disciples didn't see Christ, Jesus Christ, exactly. In fact, Thomas said, he's talking straight at Christ. But Christ was in a different Marantia body, and he said, I won't believe he rose again to see him. And then there was some characteristic that came out of the conversation that Christ was having with the doubting Thomas that he recognized. He suddenly passed the test of recognition. He was both recognized by Christ, and that he, the one being tested, recognized Christ. Now, once that happens, this individual, Thomas, is immediately passed through many of what would be considered the Marantia development schemes. So he would be readied already. He's readied for higher realm development. And that is a test that if we can get ready to pass, we will. And I remember my test came as I took time out. And after 40 days of prayer and fasting, the test did come. And I did recognize Christ. And after that, many things happened to, you know, some of the stuff people came up to me and says, you know, what's happened to you right in front of our eyes? It's like, this is the Easter times, and, you know, it came over there, and here I am in Good Friday. It's like, that's when Christ got crucified. I started bleeding from my forehead and my wrists. And as I was kind of, I said, where did this stuff come from? I wiped my head, had blood coming out of it, and I ran my wrist. Then I found out that that is something that when you have real sympathy for the experience, you can actually go through it. That is a crucifixion kind of experience. It really happened, and people witnessed me. They wanted to see my hands and everything. And showed them. I said, I think I scratched myself. I think I, you know, was scratching my forehead too hard. Yeah.
That's what you thought.
Yeah, that's what I thought, you know. Mm-hmm. But they all walked away silent. They just, one person came up to me and says, you know, this only happens to really holy people. Mm-hmm. But it really happens. There are different signs that can happen in your body that can verify these things. But the idea, what I'm trying to project, is that you got to fall in love with God. You got to fall in love with God on a level that is personal to you, so personal that He recognizes you and you recognize Him, no matter what disguise He comes in. And for me, He came to me as a dirty, beaten up hippie. You know, these guys who were like always stoned on LSD and never thought they had to do an ounce of work, and they spoke peace and stole everything out of your backyard and everything. Why anyway? And it's just one of the ideas I had that kind of rejected that this was the Christ. But immediately there was recognition.
Yeah, you talked about that in a very early recording we had, maybe just within the first few months we started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this are part of what we need to understand. You know, we all need to understand that we are continually being not only rehearsed, we're actually trained, like these Morancha companions are being schooled and trained for higher service. And there is higher service ahead.
Why do they want to take us to the New Jerusalem for this higher development? Couldn't that?
Yes, it is because the New Jerusalem is a bounce back. It's not. It means if you go there, you can come back. If you go to the mansion worlds where Morancha development takes, this is a place essentially of attaining finality and having other universe realms given to you, so your locality will be different, and where you go to serve will be much different. So you don't necessarily will ever return back to planet Earth, but in the New Jerusalem, now that is a high possibility.
I'm sorry, what's a high possibility?
Of being developed there for
and brought further, back?
Yeah, further service on planet Earth during the 1,000 year, because during this 1,000 year, there will be people who will live the whole, they will be brought back, they will live the entire 1,000 year in a Marantia state, but it'll be the early Marantia state. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they can be looked at as like a regular person, but they're not. Yeah. So having real Earth-based experience, plus being trained in school on the New Jerusalem, would be one of the characteristics of helping create the new Earth, you know.
I imagine they've probably considered taking a lot of people off this planet out to the New Jerusalem and showing them what they showed you and introducing themselves to the people they brought out there and then bring them back here. There could be thousands upon thousands of people who could really change the people of the Earth.
Mm-hmm. That's...
I mean, seems
see, that's the way in which planet Earth will not be looking at the celestial involvement in our lives or in our planetary development as an invasion and as one that will violate our sovereignty, planetary sovereignty, but will more or less guide us toward the higher celestial attainment. But right now, powerful instruments have been placed in for the development of civilization here on planet. And much of that has to do with the slavery of the economic system, debt system right now that is in place, which I was shown in one of the earliest visions that I had of this time period of how it is going to be, have to go through a breakdown and it will come to a stop. And an entirely new system will be brought in its place.
In this place of a system that we have in place now here?
Yeah, debt-based slave system.
Well, that would be great if they could bring that on.
Yeah, well, there was participation in systems that were early. The Jubilees, the cancellation of debts, was a two-way street. There were the cancellors of debt, and there were those whose debts were canceled after 50 years. Now, Jubilees were real and were part of a system that functioned, but it was displaced by, of course, the profiteers and the bankers who are sitting on top. What was the concept of how many people really control most of the wealth of the earth? Just a handful, you know, 80 people or something. I don't know.
Yes, very small amount of people.
Very small. And that's what happens when you don't cancel debts, you know. And then you become overly weighted and you become essentially these individuals, anybody, player, gamer, they become their own god, essentially fulfilling Lucifer's position of self-aggrandizement, you know, self-worship. Yeah. So many of these are Luciferian in a sense that they worship themselves as the gods of this planet. And they have to be displaced in order to make the Jubilees come back. But I'm not saying that the Jubilees will come back exactly as they were, but it would be a part of the systems that bring our planet back into balance. And that's one of the symbols that was given to me, was that rocking horse, that balancing rocking horse, as something to remember them by. Their whole thing is balance.
Well, it seems the people of the Earth aren't balanced because of the globalists and the bankers, and seems like the bank, the globalists are connected with Lucifer to bring on just real hardships for people. I mean, they just want to have a huge separation between the have and the have-nots. I mean, everyone on this planet deserves to have peace on Earth and a pleasant life. And it's far from that. There's so much pollution in the water, and the people of even the United States, they just accept that, oh, we have poison in our water, fluoride and chlorine. And we're so used to being poisoned, but it destroys the mind and doesn't allow the people to be able to think anymore for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Pure water is very important to be putting into your body, not that chlorine and fluoride.
Yeah, chlorine is relatively easy to get out in terms of filtering.
Yes, it is. You can get out some of it, or most of it, or all of it.
Yeah.
If it's distilled, you get it all out.
But that fluoride stuff, that is a toxin that isn't as easy to get out.
Yeah, and there's other countries that don't put fluoride in their water.
I remember actually having an individual who represented somebody came over to our house, and my dad was a top official for the county, trying to sell the county on fluoridating our water. And the question was, why would we have anything to do with making our most pure water? Because Hawaii, in a particular area where we live, the water comes down as one of the purest waters ever found, because it's piped in from under a artesian well, which really gets filtered naturally through all this lava rock and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then put this this exotic material, which is fluoride, into the water supply. And it gave this highfalutin idea of, you know, less cavities and all that stuff.
Well, then put it on your teeth, but it doesn't work there either. You don't drink it if it's going to be for your teeth. That's ridiculous. But people believe anything once they hear it enough.
What I was glad about was the county decided that, according to the testimony of experts who brought up the very subjects that we talk about, that it was used for mind control, the Nazis and all that had it, and it's not that effective as against tooth decay, you know. So this individual always seemed to be kind of a weird individual in terms of why did he come in and, you know, try so hard to sell the idea. It's like they're reselling a byproduct or waste product out of
a waste product.
Yeah, out of aluminum refining, you know,
mm-hmm.
fluoride. Well, anyway, we never got it into our system.
Good.
Water system. So I never knew what that stuff was.
Well, I know people that have fluoride in their water and chlorine in their water, and they're hard to talk to.
Really?
Yeah. They're just like in La La Land. They're just like Tinkerbell.
Really?
Yeah, just...
They just don't understand anything.
Don't understand anything and don't have any patience for listening to anything. Or why would you put that poison in your water? I mean, a friend comes over who has poison in her water. We go over to her house, and at the end of the evening, she'll make some coffee. And, you know, I take over pure water for the coffee. Mm-hmm. And when she was over here once, I just tried to tiptoe into the subject by saying, well, how many drops of poison can I put in this water for you? Because when we got water at her house for our cats, Our cats wouldn't drink it. Oh, I'm not drinking that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so how many drops of chlorine do you need to put in the water before your animals won't drink it?
Yeah, reject it. Yeah, right.
And they have more in it than that, because you can just smell the chlorine in the water.
Oh, yeah, swimming pool water.
Yeah, well, that's swimming pool water. But oxygen atoms can clean the water also. You don't need to put chlorine in there. Nothing like oxygen atoms cleaning. Mm-hmm. But we're so used to having poison in our water, we think it's normal. Some people think it's normal, but our bodies are mostly made of water, so put the purest water in your body and you'll be nice and healthy. And be able to think for yourself. Because creative thinking is very important for even deciding what to do every day.
Mm-hmm.
So this higher development, Michael, they seem to want to do it on the New Jerusalem instead of do it here on Earth.
Yes, because it is not exposed to the elements of, you might say, evil that Earth has. And the program, of course, would not be functional on Earth, because it would immediately put beings of indestructible characteristics that are not of Earth, aliens on Earth. And then, of course, here you go again with the basic terror of Earth is being invaded by aliens, you know. It's very simple. That's not what they're all about. The development and uplift of the planet is unique to itself. Its culture is precious and unique. It's not to be distorted in ways in which would have deviated it from its natural course into something, you know, totally different. You know, it's almost like genetic manipulation. It would be allowed to flower and bloom and cross-pollinate according to natural abilities that many times have been enhanced. The individuals that go back who are of Marantia, who have that capability of living 1,000 years without any problem, will most likely not have their procreative abilities, as they're not going to be able to have offspring in the same way that we know them. Their offspring would be primarily of morontially developed peacemakers, you might say. You know, people who have a whole different idea of what life is all about. One that doesn't interfere with the alignment or the design that was originally meant for planet Earth, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the mystery of godliness hidden from the ages that has now been manifest to us, brought forward to be made clear. And then over the millenniums of time have by, you know, religious sources somewhat been distorted, sometimes to even forego its real purpose so that it's forgotten underneath the whole idea again of how the religious realm started to try to figure they could rule through religion, earthly institution, and have ability to manipulate people. You know, that idea was that you'd be, what was that term now? Catholics would say they would it meant they'd be cut off, you know, and that cut off is essentially saying that they could lay judgment on to you and say that you're gonna go to destruction, and they can have that power. Well, they don't. Never did. It's all very much wrapped up in the secret as it is being unraveled continually before us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, so that we can make progress, true progress, not get caught up in, having religion become a thwart to modern science, but also then science, if they ignore religion, they might become a very terrible agent in which some material beings would have manipulated their own genetics to a point where they seek our purity to help them perhaps reattain. And that's the idea of reattain a purity that they lost in terms of their genetics. Because they manipulated themselves right out of the book of life, you might say. When you look at the concept of where we've got to draw the line, the idea of the biblical beast system and the mark of the beast has to do with the alignment of individuals' free will choice to manipulate their own genetic destiny as well as biologic realities to the point where they are no longer human, but some construct of their own science, which dehumanized, devolved themselves to, can and would devolve our planetary purpose again, you know, and would violate the very purpose of the fabric of our lives. So it has to be put to a stop. So that will happen. But if people choose that, then they have a very short, very finite amount of understanding of where it would go. That's why Riley's book, actually Stan, The Coming of Tan, talking about a section which talked about with a particular planet that had developed their own semi-technologically fabricated supercharged, might say, beings, created monsters. And these monsters required natural life in order for them to survive. And they, I think they were like, kind of almost like zombies or vampire types. But they needed something from the very life essence of a natural person. That seems like a scary, scary idea, but it's something that I believe, according to what was uncovered by the book Coming of Tan, the fact that some civilizations did progress to that level where they became not even a true living organism. You know, there weren't living organisms there anymore. They were someplace in some other zone. And as a result, had completely violated the purpose of all life and sentient life.
Well, it would be nice to have an invasion from the New Jerusalem and have them teach us the truth, because we certainly don't get the truth from the globalists that are in control of this planet and the news media.
It will come very close to seeming like an invasion, but it won't be one. In other words, they'll make a flyby.
Mm-hmm.
So this flyby is described in the Bible as Christ meeting in the air. And this is a point in which many of these who are human beings who have made that decision to attain divinity and become to follow the first source instead of follow Christ toward his ultimate plan and not function under their own plan, are going to be, you might say, rescued off the planet. And at that time, there will be a great visible en masse departure. Because those remaining will have actually chosen a type of mechanism that they would embody that would make them subhuman and sub-machine, somewhat in between. And yet we're looking at becoming, moving from semi-spirit to becoming fully spiritual, fully spirit, beings of light. And that progress is something that cannot occur if you have a half machine running around, you know, because they will not make that progress. Simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they won't be able to fulfill that destiny.
Well, we will continue next week.
Yeah.
Into an area, who knows where you go. Last week it was about time, which was very interesting. So this higher development, where I'd like to see it happen here on this planet, but if we have to go there, that's okay too. I'd like to see the New Jerusalem myself.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to have one of the things that was given to me. It showed me, it told me that there would be essentially a building up of a divinely adjusted servant class of humans who are coming back to the planet, but having a type of indestructibility, essentially Marantia beings. And these are the ones that cannot be killed. You know, all these bankers getting killed and stuff like that? Or
supposedly suicides.
Suicides and supposedly accidents.
Sure, yeah. I know those supposed accidents.
Well, these ideas of these, as long as you're mortal, we can get rid of you. But there will be those who won't be able to be gotten rid of. They'll start off with the first two witnesses that will be walking around on planet. I believe they've been dropped off already and are actually functioning here. These two witnesses are described in the Bible where they'd be like, you know, messing up the whole program of warfare and stuff, you know. And finally, the guy's going to get supposedly killed. Their bodies are going to be on the streets for 3 days. They don't want to just let them lay where they are. They're dead already. But then they suddenly rise up and are alive. This type of Marantia attainment. Well, This is a type of characteristic that will be brought into the planet afterwards from it, from some of these who will come back with the entire thousand-year millennium as a position of real service to try to bring back, bring this planet to a newness, make new, you know.
Okay. Talk to you next week, Michael.
Okay, aloha.
Aloha.